Welcome back. I'm John Papa. This is Corey Schumann again. And we're going to talk about Lab Number 11, which is building a Windows Phone 7 package tracking application. They don't trap packages, really. So the idea here is we have it's a business theme. It's a business application. We're going to be sending packages throughout the country or the world. We want to be able to track what those packages are through some kind of tracking number. The phone application is going to hook into some services, such as the Bing service to do the map geocoding. Also hook into some other web services that we've created. And we'll actually track the packages through a map. So Corey's going to lead us through the labs.
Absolutely. So thanks, John. The package tracking application actually takes a number of the principles we've learned in previous labs, such as WCF services, which the starter lab already includes a mm-hmm. WCF service, and as well as taking some of your existing Silverlight skills and bringing over to the phone. So there's a few, probably 90%, you know, that's my own statistic of writing Windows Phone apps, but you can port your Silverlight skills over to the phone. So
for the most part, it's very similar skill set.
There's
a couple of phone-specific things you have to be aware of.
Exactly, like navigating between pages, which we're actually going to start with first. Let's go ahead and open up the starter solution. Right here, you'll see a .NET shipping API, mm-hmm. which was found in Coplex. It's about a year old, but fantastic. It's already POCO objects already created. What we did for this lab is created a web solution that has a service included that wraps the library. Sorry.
Right.
And we're going to create to the solution. We're going to right click and add a new project, and it's going to be the Windows Phone. You'll see it's in C# Silverlight for phone. And there's a number, there's the pivot and panorama, which will get you started if you want to create a pivot and panorama.
It's nice that they show you the visual, too, so you can see what these things will look like by default.
Exactly. We're going to keep it very simple with a basic Windows Phone application. So we'll call it lab11.w, or package tracking.
Right.
Package tracker. And
so you're adding this to the solution, and there's already a web service in the solution, right?
Exactly. So let's move this out of the way. So this is the toolbox. And you'll see when it comes up, you'll see on the left side the phone, what the phone looks like, and then the XAML, and then the Solution Explorer, which is a little bit different than Silverlight application. Silverlight puts your visual on top with your XAML on the bottom.
Right.
So since we're running a little lower resolution here, we're going to zoom out a little bit.
Okay.
So this is our main page. Key difference here to note is phone application page mm-hmm. is used instead of user control. That's important because of the way we navigate. There's the phone application frame, which contains phone application pages.
So like, and taking a step back, in Silverlight Classic, I'll call it,
right.
You have a page object, which uses a navigation framework, and you create a navigation project template, you get pages and a frame.
Right.
But you don't have to use a navigation framework with regular Silverlight.
Exactly.
Windows Phone, you have to use the navigation framework. Everything's contained within the frame, and every page is a phone application page.
Right.
There are no user controls hosted inside the frame.
Right, and this is where it kind of gets fuzzy because you can create user controls,
right.
But it needs to be contained in a page. Exactly.
Right.
So this is our main page. There's three pages of this application, and let's take a look at what those three pages are. This is the finished application. On the left, you'll see the home page, the main page.xaml. Mm-hmm. Then there's the package details, which contains a list of where the package has been, the status of the package, as well as the current status. And then there's a map button, which further takes our application a step further and shows where in the world is our app.
Right.
Our package.
Our master, we got our details,
and then
we've got some kind of map associated with it.
Right. So for this first exercise, we're going to go ahead and create all three pages, and then we're going to navigate to this page, and then we're going to navigate to the map.
Okay.
So navigation is somewhat interesting because it's much like HTML with query strings. Let's take a look at that. On the Windows Phone application, right-click and say add new item. Again, you're prompted very flexibility. Again, you can do panorama and pivot. We're going to do just a simple Windows Phone portrait page, and we're going to call it package details. Package details. .xaml. And then we're going to create a map page as well. So add new item again, Windows Phone, and we'll call this easy enough map.
Okay. Makes a lot of sense.
Right.
So now you have three pages, and we're going to link these together to the navigation.
Right. So taking a look here, we have this page created. We don't have any visuals in there. We'll go ahead and...
That's our package details.
This is our package details, and then this is our map.
Okay.
Starting from reverse order, we'll start with a map to add a map. And we'll go back to our solution. We have map open. And the easiest way is when a page is created, you'll have three distinct items. You'll have the header, the name, and then the content panel. And
right.
then here, down in the bottom, there's also the application bar. It's a little hard to read, so I'm going to go ahead and minimize this, the Solution Explorer. And then I'm going to uncomment the application bar. Just to take a quick look at what this is, our application won't have an application bar.
Mm-hmm.
But it's important to know that down here, hiding in the comments, is the application bar.
Right.
And the application bar...
You can see that over on the left there, the four circles get lined up. And
exactly.
You can put images and menu items in there.
Right. So it's there to provide consistency between pages.
You can create one per page, or you can create one for the entire application.
Right.
Right.
So what I like doing is... it feels a little bit empowering, is simply just deleting everything in there, everything in layout root.
Okay, so we just basically leave the layout root where it is, and everything inside of it goes away. So now we have an empty panel.
We just have a container. And I'm going to go back to Toolbox, and then I'm going to find Map, drag and drop over here. And you'll see this little trick inside your right-click and say reset layout. You can reset the size, the alignments, the margin, just all, and it will fill all available space.
Right. And the reason it's only showing the bottom part is because that grid happens to have a... there's actually another part above that layout root, right? There's a stack panel above it?
There is not.
Is there not? Oh.
It's just the phone application page.
Oh, so, okay. I got you. Wrong page.
A couple items with a map here. Let's take a look at properties and other. I would encourage everybody to enable the zoom bar visibility to visible.
On the map.
Right. Down here, you don't really see it. So let's change the zoom level to, say, 4 and change the visibility to collapsed. And what this will do is provide
easy... You're looking at the buttons on the screen.
Right. So when I touch, I can come in here and touch. Zoom, zoom out.
Right.
So panning will already be done.
So you don't have to. That's a great thing about this control, is you don't have to program it for zooming
right.
or for panning. Or a lot of the features are built right in for it.
Exactly. So that's the one thing I would add for the map. So at this point, our map is done. We just need to add push pins, which we'll do later after we call the service. So map, our hands
and
are
our
washed.
Is somewhere in Nigeria, according to the
yes,
map right now.
Exactly. It's not a scam.
Okay.
And then now this is our package details, and I have, let's go back over to the toolbox, and I have my handy dandy pre-baked code for the layout.
So we'll again get rid of all the content.
Right. Delete.
First the app bar, and then the grid, yep.
Then we'll add package details XAML. So what this does is simple XAML. Again, we've learned this in our previous labs that
right.
we have status up here, a button, and then what you can't see right here is it a list box. You can see it high over here in XAML, but the nice thing about all these labs is taking everything that we've learned, and
that's where design time data would be really nice, because then we could see all this
perfect
stuff. Topic
exactly.
for another lab.
So now we have our package details, and then let's go back to main page, and let's add some XAML here, main page. And I was probably going to give me a little bit of...
Get rid of that grid again?
Yes.
Okay.
So
I think you still have an ending grid tag. You got rid of the beginning grid tag, didn't you?
Yes, let's see. Going to get rid of the wrap panel for a second, because we don't have the toolkit here installed. So the toolkit provides us the ability to, with the wrap panels and gestures, gesture support. We'll change this to stack panel. And
Right. For people not familiar, the toolkit's a downloadable free set of controls. It's got the wrap panel in it. It's just another panel like a stack panel or a grid, but the advantage of the wrap panel is it allows you to basically wrap to the next line, just like wrapping text.
Exactly.
So the content inside it will wrap.
So let's complete this. It's data templates. This is where my pre-baked code let me down. Let me go to my other solution. And this is my turkey in the oven, if you will.
Gotcha. So this one's the completed one. We did something wrong in the XAML. You're seeing live broken code. It's okay. We'll just go grab the solution one and grab it over real quick.
Okay. Wait, control A, control. Come back over to main page. Paste it in. So this is most likely my list box with a red background.
With a red background,
yes.
Which is quite beautiful.
Then when we run this, what will happen is right now it's going to run in an emulator. If you have your phone with you, mm-hmm. And it's registered, you can actually say device and run it through to your device and debug on your device, which is
right. Fantastic.
Very, very powerful.
So the app should be running. And there it is. It's
there
beautiful. It doesn't do anything yet, but it's there.
Exactly. So now this track button, what we want this track button to do, let's go back to the whole application. What we want to do with track is touch track, which is going to be a click event. And then what we're going to do here is we're going to go to the details page.
Okay.
So let's stop debugging and come back to our UI. Select the track, come to properties, and then in events, you can register either in your constructor, mm-hmm. which I kind of like, or what you can do here is double click in events in the properties,
right.
And it'll create the track for you.
I want to close your G file so it doesn't keep doing that.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Okay. And then let me go back to my handy dandy code behind, and what we want to do here is navigate, which is actually the click event here. And so now this is where the phone, and Silverlight for the phone and Silverlight for the desktop differ a little bit, is when you want to navigate, much like the navigation framework, if you want to navigate to a page, we're actually going to call navigation service.navigate to a URL. And we're calling the URL specifically by name.
Right.
And then we're adding a query string parameter of the text that's in the text box.
So it's going to open up that page called package details.xaml.
Right.
Which is going to be in the root, and it's a relative path in this case, and we're going to pass to it whatever tracking number the person has selected.
Exactly. So package details
or is... Or not selected, but typed in, sorry.
Right here. So then we're going to call directly in there. So now package details needs to know, because their query string is being passed in, so mm-hmm. so package details needs to know, all right, what's going on? I'm getting something. So let's open up package details.xaml.cs, and then...
You can't do this in the CTOR or in loaded. You have to do this in...
Right.
Which event is it?
In loaded. So this, mm-hmm. this dot loaded. And then believe that this code right here.
Mm-hmm.
Let's bring this over. Here's the loaded event.
Okay.
Control. Just formatting the code. So let's take a look at what's going on here. We've navigated to package-details.xaml. And then using the query string, we're checking to see if the query string contains the parameter tracking number. And then if it does, we're setting it to a tracking number.
Okay.
So at this point, what we should be doing is going and navigating to package details, but nothing's going to be happening because tracking number is actually going to call our web service.
Mm-hmm.
And in the next exercise, we're going to add the web service. So let's run this. And here, let's go ahead and we can enter some
anything.
Information.
Yep.
And I wonder if I can get this a little bit bigger. And then click track, and it goes to our package details page.
Right, which for now doesn't do anything with the data, it just receives it.
Exactly. So in the next exercise, we're going to go ahead and wire up the web service.
Okay. Okay, so the next exercise we're going to talk about is exercise 2. We're going to walk through actually calling the services that we have and then wire in the navigation through the multiple screens and actually showing the map and tracking the packages, right?
Absolutely.
So here we are in the Word document, and Corey, I'll let you take us through.
Perfect. So we're actually going to have two services that we're going to call. There's a WCF service that we have already in the solution.
Mm-hmm.
And again, previous labs, we've shown how to create that WCF solution and service and call it, add it to our project.
Right.
Additionally, we're also calling the Bing service, the geocoding service. Bing Maps offers, I believe, like four SOAP services, and one of them is the geocoding service. Fantastic. You just simply say, here's your address, which we're going to get back from, say, UPS or FedEx. In our scenario, we're getting back UPS. But you can get that address and then say, geocoding service, give me the longitude and latitude so I can plot it. Otherwise, I don't.
Right, and, and these services are all free that you can use. You just have to apply for a Bing ID code or whatever.
Exactly, like an application key.
Right.
So let's go back to our solution. Here, we've gone ahead and added our two references.
We're really quick. We added all this while you weren't looking.
So we have the package tracking service, which is our service, our WCF service that we added down here, part of the starter solution. Let's take a brief look at that. It's in service one. You can see that, again, we're using, for simplicity, we're using just one service, UPS.
Right.
This API actually supports DHL, Airborne, and FedEx, so you can go get your own.
Doesn't matter who the tracking service
exactly.
is.
Exactly. Right. So it does kind of matter to get your license number, and there's some registration that you have to do. So in the service, on the server side, we're actually having the license, the username, password. Then we're calling the UPS provider.
Okay.
Passing in our credentials, and then we're saying passing in the tracking number. And so what will happen is when it returns is this track object, which is part of the model, it's part of the solution, and it will return a shipment object. That shipment object will contain a list of where the status and where your package has been.
Okay.
So, and then once we get that, then we call the Bing Map service, give me the longitude and latitude so I can plot it.
So the UPS provider is basically a service that you're cranking up to figure out how to go actually track the UPS tracking packages.
Exactly.
Okay.
So let's close this, close our web.config file. In main page, we've gone to package details. So let's take a look at packagedetails.xaml.cs. We have a loaded method. And then previously, we're getting from the query string the tracking number.
So now we just add in the service call.
Exactly.
So we have the tracking call. Number. Now we need to tell the service, this is the package we want.
Right. And so since it's asynchronous, like Silverlight for the desktop, this is Silverlight, on our completed event here, what we're going to do is we have some code here that will get current package is a static. It's just the way you choose to store. In our case, it was simple to, in the application app.xaml.cs, to have a static variable. Kind of like
right.
a global variable. You can choose how to do that.
So you created a global variable basically in AppXaml to handle this.
Again, for simplicity. And then what we're doing is we're coming back and we're sorting using link. We're sorting the results.
Hey, could you just bring this to the next line so
Absolutely.
We can show everybody? There we go. So we got a link query. If I'm just trying to follow through, we're looking at the result, which in this case is going to be a list of packages, I assume?
Exactly.
Okay, so it's a list of these packages, probably an observable collection. And then in there, we're going to order it by, in this case, just the activity date in reverse order.
Right, because we want to show the most recent first. And so link syntax is it's one of those things that once you master it, then you're like, oh, it's so simple and elegant.
The extension methods make it nice and easy. And we could have done order by descending or whatever else. But yeah, there's several ways to write this.
So then we're making sure that the count is greater than zero. And then we're setting the item source of the list.
There's where our binding comes into play.
Right. And then for data context, again, we're binding the data context for the status grid for the status at the top.
Okay.
So we can take a look and, you know, we can go through here and see that we're... This is a little crowded. So city, state, etc.
Right, all our text blocks are bound to something. We use text blocks because we don't want people to change this. It's just visual information.
Right. So let's go ahead and run this.
So we crank this up. We should be opening up to the main details, the main page.
Right, which
is
here.
A list of packages.
Right, and these are hard coded values. They're test. They're simply test. I mean, we could come in here and.
And we could expand this. You can either type in your package number, or we could make this such that you can store those in isolated storage. I mean, a nice app would be, hey, remember my packages on my device.
Right.
this isn't from a list.
Yeah, there's a lot of groundwork here, and some things to take it to the next level, such as storing it. But
core functionality is there. Obviously, to spruce this up, there's more you can do.
Right. So let's. I know, for example, for UPS tests, this is one package tracking number that I know that works. So I'm going to go ahead and click that on the selection changed event, because that was a list box. It's actually calling using the navigation service, calling package details. It actually goes out to our service and goes out to UPS.
This is hitting the internet. This is live.
Yeah, this is live. So this is sample data coming back, and we can take a look. And
it's nice they have sample data for you.
Oh, it's fantastic. So we can come back and see a big list of data.
It took quite a few hops to get to Delaware, looks
right.
like.
So and the current status is a pickup scan in in Georgia with a tracking number.
And that's why you had two bindings. You had an item source to bind all the package destinations, or whatever they call these hops, along the way down here. But you had the second data binding because you wanted to get the last item in this list and bind it to the top, right?
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly.
Because normally we don't bind twice, but in this case we had to because of where we were.
Right. And so here we are. The last part of UI that we really need to hook up is when you click map this, we actually need to go out and translate this data into longitude and latitude using Bing. So let's do that. Let's stop debugging. And here in our Solution Explorer, we've already added the Bing map. Let's take a look at what is going on here. Here is virtualearth.net, because it used to be called Virtual Earth, and web service, geocoding service. Take a look at the lab doc, and you'll see the other four services if you're interested in doing a little bit more than just geocoding.
So this service is offered by Bing Map Services. You get your application ID, you can go out there, and all you do is you add a search service to this.
Right.
And then it generates all the proxy classes and clients for you.
It's wonderful. It's so much nicer than getting back XML or JSON and having to parse through
There's a contract, it's using SOAP, we're good to go.
Exactly. So close this. Now, in the map detail, or the details map, let's open this, and you'll see this is the piece of configuration that we were just talking about. I'm going to maximize this.
It's the same as my luggage password.
So this is the key for the geocoding service. This will be unique for each person, each developer, as they register.
I would hope so, yes.
And this is in the map here, register the loaded event. In the loaded event, set my key. And then this is this chunk right here.
That's the service
API. Is calling the Bing Map service, initializing the client. And finally, I'm sending for each place my package has been.
For each hop, yeah.
Exactly. So in the previous case, I think it was like five or six different places. I'm actually making six calls. So you're looping through.
That's an important part, because let's say you're making six calls here. You only have one completed handler.
Right.
So your completed handler is going to handle all six n number of calls that have come back.
Right.
And let's go look at that completed handler, see what he does.
So in the completed event, good practice, check to see if it's coming back. All right, and then geocode response. This is the response. And here, in longitude and latitude, I'm getting the results, the first. It could bring back. This is something kind of interesting about the Bing Maps results, is it brings back a number of results. Because your address might actually have like a southeast, so it might suggest the address you put in or
addresses
southeast.
Are very complex, yeah.
Right.
So they remember all the pieces.
So this is a very trustworthy
longitude latitude we can through, yeah.
Right. So saying give me an index of 0, 0. So but we're getting the longitude and latitude back. Then we're adding a pushman. This is kind of an interesting part here, is that the map control for the Windows Phone, you can add pushpins, and it's very easy. Let's take a look. We create the pushpin, but here, adding a pushpin, it couldn't be easier. You're simply just saying map children, add a pin. And then pin has a content and location. So content is going to be a string, just generally a string, but you can add images if you want.
It's whatever you want to show up at that pushpin. And then the location is where does the pushpin go.
Exactly.
And you can set other things too, like colors and whatnot. But yeah.
Right. So, and then we're centering it to where the pin location is, and then finally we're zooming in on it.
Okay.
Otherwise, you're just going to get pins.
Which theoretically would center on the last one we actually get back from the asynchronous call then, right?
Right.
Okay.
which should be good because it's where
should be the last one that right. was asked for.
So let's go ahead and run this.
That's not too much code at all. It's nice that the services do all that for you.
Right. Having the infrastructure with Bing Maps, because Bing Maps started out like with Virtual Earth, and having that kind of go through the repetitions with Silverlight for the desktop, it just is so seamless and simple for the phone.
It's one of my pet peeves with it. I wish when I run it, it would always bring
right
on top the emulator.
So let's see if we bring it to. I just want to make it a little bit bigger. Is that
that's a little bigger?
Right. The nice thing about the emulator is that we haven't really talked about this, but you can.
You
go
can landscape
portrait. Right.
And you can actually tell your screens to automatically support landscape and portrait as well, your pages.
Right.
But again, we digress.
So here we go. We're actually going out, hitting the service,
mm-hmm.
waiting for the results to come back. Now we're going to touch.
So now UPS has been kind enough to give us that information.
Right.
Now we're
going
to go out to another web service 6 times.
Right.
And we're mapping from Georgia to Westchester.
Right. And so if we didn't, so the map control will support or automatically supports clicking or dragging.
Right.
However, it does not natively support pinch, much mm-hmm. like pitchers or zooming. So that's the reason why at the very beginning we added these controls, so we can start zooming out a little bit. You can see the animation, and I believe the service comes over here, and it potentially originated in Germany.
Oh, wow.
So,
I didn't pick up on that before.
So.
Nice, nice. And you're getting the message for invalid credentials because it's not an actual account that we're using right now.
Right.
But you could always use your real
right.
account.
So we had to set the key for calling the service,
mm-hmm.
but the map control itself actually has to have credentials as well.
Right.
So.
Yep, you've got to have all these keys, and that's explained in the lab there, and we'll move on with it. But yeah, so when you set up these, when you go through this lab and you're going through the exercises, there's a lot going on here. The map is pretty involved, but there's a lot of code in here to show you how to walk through a lot of these pieces.
Right. The last piece of this lab is if we go back, click back, the back button actually goes back because Navigation Services handles the back. So
that's the nice thing about it. It's automatically, if you use a Navigation Service, it just pops off that stack.
Right. So if we come back to the home page and then take a look at Package Tracker, Package Tracking, there's an icon here that in the lab we actually have an icon. You can customize your application by simply right-clicking and going to Properties, and here you should be able to see where your icons are.
Right.
And so the title, when you deploy your application to the marketplace or even on your device with testing or the emulator for mm-hmm. that matter, you can come in here and add icons.
Sure.
So this is kind of important in the final steps of the deployment process, because otherwise you're going to get silly project names with camel casing.
Right.
So
The name of it really is important. We were talking about this last night. Going into the marketplace, it's really important to have a good name for your application and also a nice icon, because in a lot of cases people are scanning through these hundreds or thousands of applications or tens of thousands. They want to find something that catches their eye.
Right.
So a nice icon and a nice name, it might be all you get is that 1 second to look at.
Exactly. So as developers, we don't necessarily think of how to differentiate ourselves from each other. And so there tends to be a lack of a great pride in our code, but not pride in some of the UI. But it really,
you can build a great application, but if nobody uses it, they'll never know.
Right. This is a situation where we're competing, and any little piece counts. Transition, if yours is a little bit more polished,
mm-hmm.
and that's where the Blend Lab comes into play, where you're playing with, when you're working with states, and rather than just toggling visibility.
Right.
Those little subtle transitions make a big difference. Creating a solid web service, again, makes a big difference.
Right. Speed, performance, subtle UX features, again, go to the Blend Lab.
Right.
All that's really important.
So at this point, we're kind of competing for space, and so use the properties before deployment, make sure it's polished, and you'll have a solid competitive app.
Some good tips on monetizing some applications.
Right.
It's a great lab. Thanks, Corey, for coming on, and thank you all for watching. This concludes our series.